time has come. Execute Order 66.
Yes, my lord.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 66. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into random geekiness is...
Mike the Birdman Todd! Bitches!
Mike
Booth and to a lesser extent...
Mike Booth Ninja Powers.
And this other asshole!
Yeah, David Double D Dennis. Just randomly, because I'm around.
I have to...
Also on Twig. He finally got exiled from North Korea, so now he's back on Twig. Actually, this is your first podcast back in, like, 8 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So that's...
I can talk a little bit about crazy Taiwan, if you like. And my love of chicken hearts.
And chicken skin.
Most underrated food.
Stuff I never thought I'd even try.
Arguably the best part of the chicken when it's cooked properly.
And, okay, then.
Yep, there's
now
the whole...
you know. And knowing is
really
half the
good.
Battle.
I'm just saying.
So, I guess, what's been going on in the world of geek this week, boys?
Waiting from the sounds of it.
Well, I've got a story for you.
There's been quite a bit between... TV show castings or movie castings and pertaining to certain villains. And then there's been...
Please tell me you're talking about Doctor Doom.
Well, there's been more than that this week. The Joker and Harley Quinn thing.
I don't think those are two bad choices either.
No. I'm not sure, but I'm...
Benefit of the doubt.
Yep, benefit of the doubt. I have no idea.
She was in Wolf of Wall Street. That's all I know.
That's,
oh,
yeah.
That chick. Yeah, she could be okay.
And then Jared Leto is the Joker.
Yeah.
I like
Jared Leto. I really, really loved Dallas Buyers Club. And he was amazing in that. So
I need to see if
I've
seen anything he's in. I don't know who he is.
I know that he goes to like crazy extremes for whatever role he plays, though.
Which means he'll do what Heath Ledger does and take it right to the border with it.
Yeah, exactly. And
he's
going to
die too?
Don't say that, man. I like 30 Seconds to Mars. Although, you know what? If he did die, that would mean that role is cursed. There are only two people to get out of it would be Cesar Romero and Mark Hamill, because they've done it the longest.
Jack Nicholson.
John DiMaggio doesn't count because he's only done
it. Well, you can't forget Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, and Nicholson. But, yeah, Heath Ledger dying, and if Ledger dies, I'd say that's a cursed role.
Yeah, then they'd have to just do the Riddler forever.
Really, it's just Jack Nicholson going around killing everybody that's played him live action.
Probably.
There can be only one. The Joker's kind of like the secret Highlander.
It's like you can't handle it.
There was one thing I saw this week, and it's one of the... stupidest goddamn things I've ever heard of. And you guys hear, we talk about comic book news all the time. And this comes out of Fox's Fantastic Four. I can't even use the word reboot. I'm just gonna call it poop in a bag.
Because that's what it is.
They've revealed the origin story of Doctor Doom. And it is not, his name, first off, is not Victor Von Doom. It's Aaron Von Doomovich or some stupid shit like that.
My understanding
like a
is...
veterinarian.
My understanding is it's not, it wasn't Fox. It was the actor doing an interview. So,
or something like that. Either way, it sounds retarded.
Well, they've already taken so many liberties with it. It's not even closely resembling the original anyway. So it at this point, are you surprised?
It was like Dr. Von Doom Vlogger versus Fantastic 4chan. It's so stupid. Like I read that thinking, yep. Although, I promise you, I will be there opening day.
I will be too. I want to see what they do with it, because it's not, they borrowed their inspiration from Ultimate Fantastic Four, which is the Fantastic Four that I like, over the traditional family oriented Fantastic Four. But I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with Ultimate Fantastic Four. I don't remember there being a Doctor Doom in Fantastic Four until they turned Reed Richards into Doctor Doom.
I don't know how this is going to play out. I really think Fox and all those people are trolling Marvel right now. The only film proper they seem to give a remote shit about is the X-Men franchise, because that franchise prints money.
I wouldn't call going off the beaten path not caring about a franchise. I've said this before. I don't want to see what I can get out of the comics. I like seeing different interpretations of the same characters or stories. I don't want them to straight up adapt the comic book. That we already got that with Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four 2, and they're not that great.
I liked the casting in those movies. I just wish they'd done the Silver Surfer and Galactus justice. I mean, ultimately, the character I really wanted to see in that movie was the Watcher, because I really, really like him. I mean, I thought the casting was great, but everything else was kind of garbage.
Well, the movies are kind of, I mean, compared to the superhero movies now, they're kind of tongue-in-cheek.
They're very dated, the old ones. It's like watching the old Spider-Man.
Definitely. It's funny, whenever I watch the first one, and I've watched it twice in the last couple of years because it's on HBO. I'm just amazed at, I think I've said it on here before, they create their own problems and they fix them, and the city calls them heroes. Like, every problem in that movie is caused by themselves.
Yeah, most of the first Fantastic Four movie is just them arguing together. It's like a good three quarters of that movie.
And then Victor Von Doom comes in and takes advantage of the fact that they're not a team.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, in the new one, is that the one where Kate Mara is going to be playing
Invisible Woman?
Sue Storm?
Yeah.
No,
she's going to play the new Reed Richards.
I'd be okay with that. I
really like both of the Mara sisters, so...
I like the...
I'm okay with this.
I like the casting choices they've made for Fantastic Four. There wasn't one that they've announced that I was like, "Oh, I can't stand that." And a lot of the stuff I've heard that about just how they're tweaking things, I'm like, "I want to see how that plays out." Because like I said, I'm not a big Fantastic Four fan. I have no baggage for them, and I just don't like seeing the same thing. So if they're taking liberty with the source material, here's the thing. People are getting mad because they're taking liberty with the source material, but if the spirit is still there, which we have yet to see,
yeah, that's true.
That's all that matters.
I'm personally okay with taking liberties, as long as you take the best stuff from the source material and then kind of make it your own.
If they don't fight mole people, then I'm kind of...
Sometimes they change stuff and there's no need to change it, because the source material actually is the best version of it.
But I don't think Doom's that great of a character.
Doom disagrees with you.
Doom disagrees with everybody that disagrees with him.
I'm indifferent on it because I'm not a huge fan of Fantastic Four, just like I'm not a huge fan of Thor. So to me, like, the original two, the first one was good to me. The second one was kind of bleh, but I'm indifferent. I could care less. I probably won't even care to see it. I'll probably watch it, don't get me wrong, but I won't care.
I've got more of an investment in the Marvel stuff than I do with DC, I guess because I've got a deeper wealth of knowledge on the Marvel side. And
there's more movies that are kind of diverse compared to DC sticking with Batman and Superman yet again.
Although hopefully they'll turn things around with like Suicide Squad.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean,
I'm looking more forward to... I'm not looking forward to Superman and Batman again, like you just said, but I'm looking more forward to all these other weird properties they announced, like Suicide Squad and The Rock being Shazam.
No, he's going to be Black Adam.
Which is so sad.
Oh, which is okay. Awesome.
Which is even better.
That makes me sad.
Stuff like that, like the weird characters who have never gotten a movie before, or the... They just announced Aquaman or something like
Aquaman
that.
Aquaman or something.
Aquaman's actually in
Batman.
I think
they found a director for Wonder Woman recently.
Aquaman's also in
Batman. The guys who haven't had a movie finally getting one
What I'd like to see out of them, it probably won't have, this will probably be more in the realm of DC animated, but I'd love to see them do Justice League Dark. Like, take all DC supernatural heroes.
From what I gathered, that was originally what they were going to do before any of this.
Guillermo del Toro is working on that.
Supposedly.
It's one of his, side projects.
I think I just got a nerd boner.
After he makes Hellboy 3, though, hopefully. Or put Hellboy in the Justice League Dark movie.
Yeah, that would be cool. Actually, I would like to see Hellboy cross over with other properties. There was a question.
He'll just bump into Etrigan miraculously in hell.
Or have Constantine. It would be cool if Constantine and Hellboy team up.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw
happen, Mike.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a Hellboy 3, given that Legendary Pictures is now making movies for Universal, and they have a strong relationship with Guillermo del Toro.
I thought that was already in the works, that they were already talking about doing a
Hellboy 3. They've talked about it, but
I don't know if it's confirmed. Yeah, it's one of those movies that's been talked about, since the second one came out, but...
It's kind of like the Riddick movies.
It's kind of like Spawn.
Someone has to pool their own money together to make it.
Speaking of Spawn, a few weeks ago, McFarlane released some artwork from the new TV series, that's in the works. It looks friggin' cool, man. I want this series yesterday. I've always been a huge Spawn fan. That HBO series in the 90s. That was a whole new level for me. And I think Spawn's a character that I think is sorely missing from comics today. I remember when Spawn used to mean something. And then Spawn became human, ruled hell, and killed God. It got so ridiculous. It started tripping over itself. And now Angela's part of the mainstream Marvel universe, thanks to Age of Ultron. It just got stupid.
See, Spawn for me was never the comic book or the movie or the TV show. It was the toys. I mean, I never owned any of them, but that's all I really remember of Spawn is the toys.
It looked really cool.
And the million variants, but they had no posability.
Yep.
But the sculpts were fantastic. I used to have a bunch of the early Spawn toys. I had a bunch of the Spawn movie toys, too. Man, I wish I still had those, because I remember the one Spawn toy I had, it was him standing on a throne of skulls. He had his red cape wrapped around him. He had real metal chains dangling down. He had, necroplasm, that green energy shit, in his hands or something. And I thought that was just the coolest looking toy ever, but I'm thinking, I can't pose this thing.
I can't pose it, therefore I don't want it.
See, I love super poseable toys.
Isn't it just technically a statue, then?
That's the thing.
Statues are nice sometimes, but...
See, I love super poseable stuff.
Well, for me, if when I was younger, I liked stuff to be posable. Now, as an adult, I'd rather have it as a statue. Yeah, that it's already posed, and I just put it there, and it's part of my decor, and it looks nice. See,
for me, I just want stuff to stand up.
The best, I think, one of the best formats for figures right now, I've seen some really nice 12-inch stuff, and specifically, there's a company called Hot Toys that produces $300-$400 figures. They look
really
amazing.
Super high detail.
You can see the pores on Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye. That's how good it is. They also done a bunch of Batman figures. I think they did Superman for Man of Steel.
Yeah, I remember
General Zod.
Way back when I worked in a comic book shop, we got the Hot Toys for the Dark Knight Batman and all the ridiculous amount of stuff that it came with. Yeah, it came with pretty much every accessory that he used in the movie. And it looked like you were looking at a tiny, shrunken Christian Bale. It was ridiculous.
There's one picture, a friend of mine, Steve Saylor, one of the guys who started Twig with me, he went to Fan Expo, and this guy was selling prints. He was taking pictures of his toys, but selling them as art print. He had this wonderful picture. It was the Hot Toys 1989 Joker as Nicholson, and the 2008 Heath Ledger Joker, and Nicholson had his hands on Ledger's shoulder, and he had the sculpt of the Ledger Joker just kind of smiling, that half crooked smile, and the insane version was on the kind of Nicholson, and it looked so phenomenally good. You swear those people were like in the same room. That's how good those toys were. Oh, I love toys. But I don't.
Well, kind of moving back to movie hell. Should we talk about Sony's I don't know moment
Brain
or WTF?
Yeah.
See,
I'm just trying to imagine the board meeting that led to this decision.
They were all high.
I imagine they were all standing
Hold on
a ledge.
Again, is this even like a decision, or is this just like a rumor again? Like this just
it's
sounds
rumored,
like yeah.
It's this rumored, but it comes down to film rights because they've squandered them. Because
this
despite
just
making $700 million at the box office, Amazing Spider-Man 2 tanked compared to all other Spider-Man movies.
Well, here's the thing. Again, this is just the latest. Like every week, there's a new Spider-Man rumor. What's Sony gonna do? This is just this week's rumor. Next week, they'll go back to talking about a possible Carnage movie or the possible Venom movie. Like, yes, there are people attached to like some of these things, but every week since Amazing Spider-Man 2 has come out and like tanked, Sony has like dropped rumors or like backpedaled on their release dates. Like this is just the weekly Sony like checkbox, if you will. Like what's Sony
going
to do this
week? Yeah,
I wasn't
really trying to highlight the fact that they're saying, oh, there's a rumor of a Aunt May movie spinoff, but it's more so that I just think that they don't know what to do with the franchise in general.
I think the idea is, like, supposedly it's over film rights because they don't want them to expire.
Yep, but they've got time.
See, I could see an Aunt May movie working as a television movie event if there was a Spider-Man TV series or something.
Do like Kraven the Hunter or something, or
that'd be pretty cool, actually.
I don't know. I'm just kind of sick of Spider-Man at this point.
I would like a Venom and Carnage movie if I had to pick one. But
no,
I want it to be
Grace.
A hard R, so we get true Carnage, not this watered down bullshit.
You mean like a Jim Carrey meets Number 23 and.
Yeah, like, I want the true insane Carnage. I want the guy who paints his victims on the walls. But I also want that Lethal Protector Eddie Brock. You know, I want that 90s style Venom. The 90s Maximum Carnage. Hell, that would be the storyline I'd love to see adapted. It would be Maximum Carnage. It's probably never going to happen because Captain America shows up, the Fantastic Four show up, Firestar and all these people. So probably not going to happen. I can hope. Hell, I'd love to see another Blade movie. Because Wesley Snipes is out and he says
there's
to do it.
Plans for one.
I think you'll see Blade end up in the Netflix content.
I think that they were talking about Wesley Snipes is trying to get a fourth one off the ground.
I hope Marvel has the rights to him.
I think they do.
Yeah, Marvel has Blade.
He can show up on the Netflix series.
I vaguely remember Marvel just getting the rights to Blade.
Yes.
Because I was thinking what they should do is, now that they have Blade and Ghost Rider, they should, like, team them up together.
And, like, the Punisher or some
and,
shit. Like
yeah,
that.
Blade, the Punisher, and Ghost Rider all team up, and they have to, like, fight Satan. There you go. That's my pitch for the next Marvel movie. Now give me $100 million.
There was a debate I saw on Facebook, and it was over which studio is better, Marvel or DC. And
I think they both excel in different areas.
Yeah, like
really.
DC rules television.
Yeah, DC has television, they have their animated movies and their animated shows, which are pretty consistently good. And Marvel pretty much rules the movie theaters right now.
It only really has S.H.I.E.L.D. and those Netflix shows when they premiere.
See, the thing is, I look at it this way. Yes, DC rules TV, and you know, Marvel is kind of. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 is markedly improved over Season 1.
Oh,
however, Marvel's doing something like completely different from what DC is doing, because it's like, is the left hand talking to the right hand at DC? No. And over at Marvel, the right hand, who is Kevin Feige, is running everything. Like, that is the reason, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can sometimes it can feel stifled, like the first season did, right up until it tied in with Captain America. And it expands on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You get a little dose of it, you know, you're reminded of things that happened in the movies over a couple of TV shows. Sometimes they call back to stuff, and that's cool for people. But the thing is, where Marvel gets to do that, because one person is the head of all that stuff, and they've also said the Netflix content ties into all of that stuff too. So
that's a part of their all connected tagline.
Exactly. But they do that because the same guy is in charge of all that stuff. And there's even like little subtle hints and rumors that the animated stuff also somewhat exists in that timeline, which is one of the reasons they did away with Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was actually a pretty decent cartoon show once you waded through it. But they did away with it because they wanted things to tie in with it. So like their Ultimate Spider-Man, I think it is, or is it Ultimate Spider-Man? Yes.
Yeah.
That is somewhat, I mean, minus Coulson being a principal, some of that is considered to be canon with the MCU because that's how they put Spider-Man in there. Anyways, DC, the left hand isn't, you know, it's not one person running the whole thing. You've got the left hand running the TV series and you got the right hand trying to make movies, and they don't want to work together. So you've got two Flashes, whether they're different Flashes or not, mainstream audience might not pick up on that. So you've got two Flashes. You're going to end up with, you know, duplicates of many characters, and it's disappointing that they can't, and they won't
there is
work
talk
together.
Of, there is talk of their TV stuff connecting somehow. Like,
Jeff
Johns
said
the,
that
like,
they're,
TV Jeff, talk.
He said they're a part of the multiverse.
Yes. Multiverse does not mean connective tissue to me.
It's a cop-out answer, meaning that they could eventually connect if we feel like it.
Basically, if they get desperate enough to truly copy Marvel. And we've talked about this before. Like, DC is going to play catch-up for a long time, and I think they're going to lose this gamble in the long run.
I think the general movie-going public is going to get sick of superhero films before DC catches up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's something to actually kind of talk about, too. I mean, we talk about superhero movies a lot on this show. Nothing wrong with that. But what's the last movie you saw that wasn't a superhero movie?
Interstellar.
Yeah, I was going to say Interstellar as well. Or yeah. I'm going to see Birdman on Friday. I'm excited for that.
But that's kind of a superhero movie, isn't it?
Kind of. In the weirdest way possible, I guess.
The last movie I saw in theaters, I'm trying to think what the hell it was. I think it may have been Transformers 4, and that's the darkness
we don't speak about.
I really did want to see it Interstellar. I've read the plot synopsis online, and I'm thinking, wow, that's fucking weird. I get it, because I understand a lot of the science behind it, and I know Neil deGrasse Tyson had, like, kind of weighed in on saying, you know what, it gets a lot of the science right.
It's very sciencey. The girl I saw it with, after it finished, I was like, wow, it was really good. And she was like, it's too physics. That was her summary of Interstellar. It's too physics.
Probably the same explanation of somebody that doesn't like Star Trek too.
I think it's going to be a movie that divides a lot of people, because you're either going to get into the science and the weird visuals and flying through space and whatnot. And
is
think
it
it's
a
amazing,
smarter version of Gravity?
Like I did. I think so. I think it was very smart. I liked it more than Gravity, actually.
That speaks volumes, because I watched Gravity because Dan liked it, I couldn't stand it.
I think they are.
Did you see Gravity in IMAX, though?
Okay, I thought it was good, but
I think they're two. Maybe. I don't think you can compare the two. Science or no science? I just don't think you can compare the movies to each other.
The only reason I draw the comparison is because they're both fairly accurate in their portrayal of space. And you know, the last good movie that got the space right that I can think of, Apollo 13 for the most part. I mean, some things are fucking stupid in that movie, but that's another year.
Star Trek First Contact?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But, I don't know, I find a lot of the movie going public these days doesn't like super smart movies. If it's a super smart movie, it tends to get overlooked. Like, there's that level between intelligent and just intelligent enough to where you sound smart.
That's why we have sequels.
Yeah.
And reboots and prequels.
And I don't know, like, there was, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before, or I know I've talked about this recently, about reboots and reimaginings. I'm okay if you bring something fresh to the table with it. Like, me and Dave, for example, were talking about the RoboCop remake from earlier this year. I can see good points with it. I can also see a lot of bad points. But
I actually kind of liked that remake, but more than I was expecting to. Same. I thought it was going to completely suck, and I was like, hey, this movie's relatively entertaining and not entirely retarded.
I like parts. I like the idea of Murphy's humanity being turned on and off, and his emotions suppressed. Like, is there a man inside the machine? I like
the different parallels between that and the original. I mean, they're still two separate entities, but
yeah, I like how they did something new with this one. It wasn't just a straight remake where it's exactly the same plot as the original.
Well, it's almost like Total Recall. They changed some of that. I'm not saying that was a better movie.
Actually, I can think of three remakes that I think completely missed the point of bringing something new and original, because they tried to do too many callbacks, or they picked the wrong elements to focus on, and all three of them are horror movies. Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th. I think those are some of the worst remakes that have come out in the last, 5 years.
I liked the Halloween one, only for the, and I like the originals too, but I like the new ones only because they give story. The thing is, when I go and watch a horror movie, I really want to know why this, I want to know why this guy is going around and killing all these people. Not just that he's going around and killing all these people just for the shock value. I want to know why. So that's and Halloween doesn't really address that. In the ones that I've seen, he just keeps coming and coming and coming, and I feel like Halloween and a little bit in Halloween 2, they kind of fill in the why of that series.
That's the thing I didn't like about what Rob Zombie did. Now I'm going to preface that by saying I like the parts with the little kid Michael, because it did give sympathy to evil. That was the point of John Carpenter's original Halloween back in 1979. He was evil in a little boy. Evil takes whatever form it wants. It has no rhyme or reason. It just is. And when Rob Zombie showed this broken home and abuse and all this crap, thinking, all right, I get it. He's fucked up. And Dr. Loomis genuinely trying to save him. I mean, in both films, genuinely, you kind of feel sorry for the newer one. Because you're meant to. In the original, Loomis wanted to protect us from something he felt was genuinely bad. He wanted to help this kid, but he knew it was hopeless. Ultimately. And I don't know. And you look at Nightmare on Elm Street, the original one with Wes Craven, Freddy was a child murderer. They don't say molester in that movie.
And the first one, they don't even tell you anything. It's not until the third one or fourth one that you find out what happened, is it?
Well, they do mention it in passing dialogue. They say he was a child murderer. He was let go on a technicality because when Nancy's mom is drinking the vodka out of the closet and she explains everything to her.
Oh, okay.
And then in the remake, they would all go down to his special place and get molested and touched and all that shit. And I liked Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy, but I should never feel sympathy for a child murderer / molester. And I did like the fact that it made me question, maybe he didn't do it, but he's still evil fucking dream demon anyway. But I don't know, there's something more pure, I guess I could say, about the 80s villains they just were, with us trying to add unnecessary layers of backstory to them. And sometimes it works.
But see, go ahead, Mike. It might work in your case, but not to me. I remember one summer. I was 10, 15 years ago now. I was kind of like, you know what? I want to watch these horror movies. I'm going to watch Friday the 13th. I'm going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm going to watch Children of the Corn. And starting with the first movie, it's like I all of a sudden, I don't really know where it came from, but it was like I want to know why. And I never got my answers. The longer I waited through those series, I never got the why. Like in Children of the Corn, for example, I always wanted to know where the book came from. Like, yeah. I just always wanted to know more, and I never got it, so I just kind of was like, eh. Which is one of the reasons why, like, I appreciate movies like Saw, because they eventually explain everything.
Oh, yeah, like, I totally like it when they give good backstory, like, when they give sort of, like, He Who Walks Behind the Rose and all that shit, and when they flesh out...
Saw was so freaking intertwined that when you got through the entire thing, everything made sense.
But It takes a certain kind of movie to make you feel like that. I mean, I think with some movies, they add it to sound complex, or they add in all this tie-in media, like maybe books or comic books or like little webisodes, stuff like that. Like, one of the most effective backstories, you didn't need to know it, but it helped, was with the Blair Witch Project. And that was when they had the viral marketing out where they showed the Burkittsville Police Department. They had other interviews up on the website about the Blair Witch and the murders of Rustin Parr. That's where a backstory made the movie 10 times cooler to me. It wasn't a Freddy or a Jason where I just accepted it. All right, this is evil. Here's your one paragraph description. Go.
Not to make that. Have you guys seen? Has anyone here seen the VHS series?
I saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
I couldn't make it through the first segment in the second one. I was like, nope, we're done.
That's enough of that. You should see the ABCs of Death. My God, was that disturbing.
Out of the 26, there's maybe 4 that are good.
The rest are you're scratching your head as to what the hell is wrong with you. I'll say this, Japanese fart demons.
Or why they wasted the film.
Like, I'm serious. Yeah. There is one segment dedicated to these two schoolgirls farting.
And they kill each other with farts?
Yeah, they kill each other with fart demons. And then there's another one where the guy chops off his dick, it turns into a sword. And it's like, it turns into a bomb or something. It's the last one, Z.
Oh, that one was...
Like, what the hell is going on?
At that point, I was just done with this movie. I was just like, I just want it to be over.
It's one of those movies...
Honestly, there's the one where, like, a guy is fighting a dog and the dog kills him. That one was cool. And there's one where, like, a guy, he goes into, like, this loop and he, like, comes out and kills himself and then, like, walks back in again or something. It was really, like...
Yeah, like, he's trying to ward himself.
Yeah, he's, like, traveling through time or something. That one was cool. But there's... Most of them are just, like... Why did they waste their time? And a second one is coming out. So.
Yeah, I think our friends are involved in that one, actually.
Apparently, since we're on the gravy train of sequels and reboots and everything else, what are your thoughts about them, about Matt Damon returning as Jason Bourne?
Cool.
I like him. Awesome. I like Jeremy Renner, but he's no Bourne.
I love Jeremy Renner, but I was super disappointed by Bourne 4, mostly because it was about, like...
Yelling at computer screens?
No, I mean, most of it was him taking super drugs, and he got all his superpowers from super drugs, and then they're like, oh, and by the way, Matt Damon was also taking super drugs, and that's the only reason he was so awesome. And I was like, come on!
So they're like, this is like Captain America.
Like, I accepted that Jason Bourne was awesome just because... awesome, and he did a lot of training and he worked really hard to be in good shape and be really good at everything. Not that he like had to take some kind of
I think there were two different things, because I think there were two different, they were obviously two different projects going on.
Yeah, there's two different projects. He was a part of the first edition.
Yeah.
Whereas Renner's character was a part of the second edition.
Personally, I like
I don't know. I thought they kind of at least hinted that he took the same kind of performance enhancing.
But I don't think he had to keep taking them, whereas Renner does.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Because the other drugs drove you nuts.
Well, the first set, it was like, it was a permanent one shot, you're done. The secondary one, which is what Renner's character had, they did it so that if they needed to terminate the project, they didn't have a bunch of Jason Bournes running around.
So I think...
Number 4 doesn't count for me.
I liked Ultimatum because I liked the way that it intersected with the third movie. And I'm a sucker for continuity in film franchises. Like, I eat that stuff up for breakfast. So
So that one I'm excited for as well. So
If the fifth one, I don't want it to completely ignore the fourth movie.
I don't think it will.
But
I want something meaningful to happen next.
Yeah, I just didn't like the fourth movie. I felt like it was kind of pointless.
It was like a side story.
Yeah, I was just waiting for something important to happen, and it didn't, and it ended really abruptly, and I left feeling very...
I just wish that, you know, Bourne had showed up at the end and punched him in the face, and then it cut to credits.
Bitch, get out of my franchise. Go back to the Avengers, Hawkeye.
When they announced that Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon were coming back for the fifth one, I'm 100% behind this.
Well, and I think because Damon said that he wouldn't come back unless Greengrass came back, and then, which is a good, you know, it's a good thing, because the fourth one really kind of bombed overall, and I think they realized that they screwed up.
I remember seeing that movie in theaters with my wife, and I remember looking over to her at one point, when is something going to happen? And I didn't mean to say it as loud as I did. I got a few laughs in the theater. It was so boring. With you. Like, Jesus. And that's the thing. I expected so much from Jeremy Renner.
Well, it wasn't really his fault. He was just working with a shitty script. Yeah, he was working with a crappy script and trying to do the best with it.
And then here's another movie we don't need. The Jason Bourne one, I'm kind of in agreement. I'm excited to see what they do, only because it's the team that did two of the other ones. Toy Story 4 news.
I don't know what to think about this.
Well, yeah.
Because except Toy Story 3 had such a perfect ending.
I know.
I felt the same way, but then I read that John Lasseter said that he wouldn't have made a fourth one unless they had a really good story that was worthy of a fourth movie. Now he might just be talking out of his ass. Yeah.
Well,
it's Pixar, and I mean they've gone kind
very
of.
Very rarely do they have a shit movie.
Yeah, I mean I wouldn't say they've gone downhill, but they're more hit or miss now than they were in the early 2000s. But I honestly doubt it's going to be terrible. It might not be as good as 3 or
everything.
One,
everything post Toy Story 3 has been pretty sloppy. That's where I come down on that.
Up was before.
Yeah, Up was before.
Before Toy Story 3, I think.
Same with Wall-E?
Yeah. Yep.
Everything was before. You have things like Planes and...
Crap.
Well, Planes
well,
is not Pixar.
They weren't actually involved with Planes.
Yeah,
let's not put that on Pixar.
Absolve them of responsibility.
Yeah, that was all Disney trying to make money off of that.
One franchise I'd like to see get another sequel, I want to see another Oceans movie. I genuinely enjoy that ensemble cast.
Like, you know, yeah, I do. I want to see more
Three of them dead now? Bernie Mac is dead. I feel like one of the older guys is dead.
I want to see more
sure
Brad Pitt
like
eating stuff.
Still alive. What was that?
I want to see more Brad Pitt eating stuff.
Yeah, because that's what he did the entire movie.
Yep. No one.
I just want to see George Clooney being a smart, slick talking motherfucker. I love that.
Okay, here's the one thing: the Ocean's movies were all. I really like the Ocean's movies. I like them a lot. The one thing I've always wanted to see since I think it was like the first. There was the first Ocean's movie in the trailer and in the movie. There's the scene where George Clooney approaches Linus, Matt Damon's character, and he says, "You're either in or you're out right now." I want to see that scene in a movie where the character being asked opts out and the movie goes in a completely different direction.
I think that'd be pretty cool to say, you know what, guys? I'm not doing it. No way.
Like I think it'd be great because you could have the trailers be everything in the first like quarter of the movie. Like up until that moment, all the trailers can be from that part of the movie. And so when audiences sit down and they think they're going to get something, and then the guy's like, nope, I'm out. And then it becomes something completely different.
So it's kind of like they're pulling a job on you.
Yep.
Sort of thing. See, yeah, that'd be really cool. That would be really legitimately sick, especially because I think all three movies, despite, you know, two had its problems. I mean, overly being overly complex at times. Yeah. But all of them paid off, I thought.
Yeah, I think 3 had the opposite problem.
It was too simple.
It was a little bit too simple. 1 was obviously the best, had the best balance of both worlds.
I think it goes 1, 3, 2.
Yeah, I like 3 a little bit more than 2 as well.
My problem with 2 is that it's over before it starts.
Yeah.
Like, the heist actually happens way before the end of the movie. And so the movie just keeps going after the heist actually occurs, which is really weird.
I only vaguely remember the second movie.
2 is the one I've seen the least.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one as much, so.
I like the character of Night Fox. And I was great they brought him back for 3.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell his character's name was. But I thought he was cool, though. Then having the guy that played Super Dave Osborne as Linus's dad.
Really?
Yeah, that's Super Dave Osborne. I was like, holy crap, I know that voice. Super Dave Compound, awesome. Mr. Fuji. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, we have to, you know, address the giant elephant in the room of Disney. Star Wars Episode 7 title?
Force Awakens. Oh. It sounds like the title of a video game or something that happens in Knights of the Old Republic.
Book or like someone's Star Wars fan fiction.
You know, I would really like to see the internet. I wish the internet was around in 1977 when it was A New Hope. Like, seriously?
It wasn't A New Hope back then.
Yeah, exactly. When it first came out, it was just Star Wars. And then it was in 78 when it became A New Hope.
Fine, but when the title got changed to A New Hope, like... That is just as corny, yet nobody like bats an eye at it. Like,
I think the problem is it sounds like it's the beginning of something, and I guess you could argue 7, 8, 9 will be the trilogy.
Kind of rebooting it in a way.
I saw an article while I was kind of doing research over the past week. They kind of made a correlation that a lot of the titles are related. From trilogy to trilogy. Like Phantom Menace, you know, you have the kind of hidden thing, and then of the Emperor and the Sith, and then you have, you know, A New Hope, which is, you know, the kind of 360 of it. You have the Attack of the Clones, and then you have, you know, Empire Strikes Back, and then you have Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi.
There's a lot of parallels with Revenge of the Jedi titles. Until they changed it.
Yeah, but that's probably because they intended for the third one. To be Revenge. Plus, I think there was like Wrath of Khan or something out around the same time, so.
What I heard was that it was because Jedis don't actually take revenge, so it sounded too aggressive.
That's what I've heard too.
So they changed it to Return at the last minute.
So they're kind of making it sound like The Force Awakens is basically like how the New Hope type of title.
I've been hearing some weird stuff come out in terms of rumors to that movie too. They're saying, like, Luke has this, like, Force Unleashed moment where he, like, trashes a Star Destroyer and he decides he's bad news for the Force, so maybe it's time for him to go away for a while.
That's fine.
And...
yeah, with that movie, I don't know that much about it, and I'm kind of happy not knowing much about it. I just kind of want to go into the movie knowing nothing and just let it be what it is.
I don't want it to suck, but then again... we've all been dreaming of Episode 7 since Return of the Jedi. So,
I haven't. 30, I don't know. 40
years of hype.
I think they put a nice cap on it with Return of the Jedi. I don't think that there needed to be another one.
I don't like the fact that it's involving old characters.
It comes down to money, really.
I don't mind that. Because, again, it's still tying into the overall continuity of it.
Yeah, I kind of want them to introduce some new characters as long as they're good and interesting, unlike all of the characters in the prequel.
I mean, really, you only have Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, R2, and C-3PO.
But now
they're not bringing Lando in for some
reason. But now the three principals are so old, like Han Solo's going to need a fucking walker.
I kind of hope.
I don't know.
It's going to be a handoff, but I think that Harrison Ford said that pretty much he only wants to do this one, and he wants to be done with it. He wants to do another Indiana Jones, which he's, again,
she will die.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that they bring back all these old characters, but they just like all die at some point in this movie.
Well, I think Luke will be the only one that kind of stands the test of time through
the new Force Ghost.
Yeah, he'll be the new, you know, the Alec Guinness of this trilogy.
Which I'm okay with, because he's the same age that Alec Guinness was when they filmed the fourth one. So I'm fine with that.
And I could see them keeping C-3PO and R2-D2
because they're robots.
Yeah, and the whole point of C-3PO and R2-D2 is they kind of represent the audience throughout this entire saga.
So let me ask you guys this. Regarding Star Wars, who has watched all of the Clone Wars?
Yep.
The Cartoon Network series?
I have not.
Yep.
I watched part of the first season.
Okay. Well, it's a fantastic series. It totally makes up for episodes 1 through 3. What do you think the odds are of Ahsoka showing up in the new trilogy?
I could see a passing mention.
I think she'll show up.
I think you're more likely to see her show up on Rebels in some capacity.
Well, after Disney canceled the Clone Wars, I kind of doubt that they would.
Or maybe in the new expanded universe fiction that comes out.
Yeah, that's possible, but I doubt she's going
to
be.
I'd like to see an Ahsoka like standalone special. Give me 1 hour, close her loop. Let that story be finished.
Did they ever explain why she's not in episode 3? Because I assume she dies.
No.
She left the Jedi Order.
Yep, she leaves. She's fed up with the direction that they're heading, and she's like, you guys aren't Jedis anymore, and she takes off. And there's an entire.
It'd be great if like Anakin kills her.
There's an entire other season without her that I haven't seen.
But they didn't actually. She doesn't actually have a death.
Yeah, she walks away. She kind of does like the Yoda thing. She just like disappears.
She may end up being one of the ones that kind of guides the newbies over to Luke, even if they decide to bring her into the film.
See, that'd be kind of cool. I'd be okay with that. Have her like be a teacher at the new Jedi Academy or something.
That's what I'm talking about, because one of the tweets I saw that corresponded with the last episode of the season that aired on Cartoon Network, because Netflix got the last season, was as soon as it was over, there was a tweet that was like, and Ahsoka exits Clone Wars to show up in episode 7. So
I think that'd be legit.
I mean, it is continuity.
I'm not against it. I just don't know if it's going to happen. But...
And she'll be played by Miley Cyrus.
Oh, don't do that. That's a great.
No. Oh, you're evil.
But it would be interesting to see the character show up in any case. And I've heard that the new, I can't remember, Rebels, they're going to have some kind of a tie in episode 7 as well.
Well, it leads right up to 4, I think.
It does.
So I have yet
to introduce the idea, or they already introduced the idea of the Imperial Inquisitor, who's been around in the Star Wars Expanded Universe fiction since like the 90s.
There's also supposed to be the Sith revival too, so
it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know what's going to be awesome? Next year's Comic-Con. Because you know they're going to show footage.
There's nothing about episode 7 that I haven't heard bad that I've heard. Like,
I've heard weird, but nothing terrible.
I gotta say, I wasn't super excited when it was first announced, but then when J.J. Abrams stepped down as director and Rian Johnson stepped up?
No, J.J. is still directing.
Or did he that not
happen? Rian Johnson's directing another Star Wars movie.
Oh,
yeah, well, my guess is it's gonna be one of those standalone.
I'm not excited anymore.
I think he's
going
to be doing one of
those. I was only excited because of Rian Johnson, because he's amazing and I love him.
I think he'll end up be doing one of the standalone.
I think he's doing
one shots. Doing which one?
8.
8?
Yes.
Okay, then 8's going to be like the awesome Empire Strikes Back of this trilogy.
See, Abrams can be good if you give him the right movie that he loves. Like, the first Star Trek was awesome. The first reboot.
Well, again, it was a Star Wars movie in disguise.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was his demo reel for Please Let Me Do This.
And that's because Abrams likes Star Wars more than he likes Star
Trek. He doesn't like Trek. That was his way of getting his foot in the door.
I like him because I feel like, and a lot of people didn't like, oh my gosh, I can't think of the movie that he did.
Into
Darkness, with the kids.
Super 8?
Super 8.
I loved Super 8, actually.
I didn't.
Here's the thing I like about J.J. Abrams. I think when he sets his... He's really good at crafting a... He's really good at making things look like something. And one of the things I've heard that he's doing is he's trying to make the movie look like it was shot a few years after, like, episode six. So it's not... He's not trying to make it look like it's a sequel that came out like in, you know, 2015. He's trying to make it look like a sequel that came out like in the 80s.
So the tech's not going to be all super holographic displays and everything.
And from what I've seen with the, you know, they're using puppets again, and they've actually built X-Wings and this, that, and the other thing. It seems very much.
Stormtroopers are on set, I think. They've actually built
armor.
So they're
actually using costumes and sets and miniatures and real things instead of just having people in green suits of a green background dancing
around.
I
think like Super 8 was trying to channel the Steven Spielberg E.T. vibe, and I think the faults. Yes, that movie has faults, but I think he did a really good job of like just capturing that look. So
yeah,
I think he can bring. If he can make Star Wars look like it was made 2 years after episode six, then he's already won me over. Now, I don't want the lightsabers to look like they were made 2 years later. I like the new lightsabers.
I just want more colors.
They'll make more.
I want someone to show up with a yellow, an orange.
And then JJ will add lens flares to them.
That's okay.
I want to see different types of lightsabers, too. I mean, seeing Darth Maul with the dual blade was cool. I
want
to see Asajj Ventress's
blade.
I think it was Plo Koon, the weird guy with the fucking breathing mask. He's got a lightsaber Wolverine claw. He wears dual lightsaber claws.
That's
weird. Looks fucking sick.
Awesome. I'd want that.
Rian Johnson is tied to episode 8.
Oh, okay, well, okay, at least he's tied to it in some way. I love Rian Johnson. He's directed some of the best episodes of Breaking Bad.
My guess is...
I really liked Looper, actually, so...
We will see a trailer, a teaser at Super Bowl. Calling that now, teaser.
Nope.
We'll get something in May, for sure.
What's the first Pixar movie? I don't know. I think it's going to be...
It's going to be in December we're going to see something.
I think you'll see
actually,
it Super Bowl.
I heard rumors that at the end of November there's going to be a teaser.
There isn't. Well,
for Star Wars,
it'd be on The Hobbit. Would be the last big movie of the year.
No, because that's not anything that's not Disney related.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
They'll have Batman vs Superman on that one too.
The only reason I say Super Bowl is because. All the big
television,
yeah, it's the biggest audience share, and everybody tunes in for the commercials and movie trailers. So want to see eyes on your project to get people excited.
If there's a teaser, that's all it'll be is like a 30-second teaser. The first trailer,
Comic Con.
This is out there. It's going to be on Inside Out from Pixar. The episode 2 trailer was on Monsters Inc. The episode 1 trailer, believe it or not, was on Meet Joe Black.
Egypt, I think. Wasn't it?
Episode 1 was Meet Joe Black.
I thought it was the first time I saw it anyways was when I saw Prince of Egypt as a kid. DreamWorks, but
the running gag with Meet Joe Black is that it did so well because all the nerds went and bought movie tickets to see the trailer and then walked out.
That happened in my area.
A lot of people did that. And that trailer for episode 1 was amazing.
It was better
than the movie.
So was the trailer.
It looked so good, and then the movie came out, and yeah, we all know how that happened. But...
So Steve, we have places to be, do we not?
Yep, so what we'll do is, I guess we'll call it a night, and we'll cover some of the listener comments and various other things that pop up over the next week. Next week.
Yay.
Did we have any comments from last week's episode?
There was one about from Eric who says, I'd be all for less reboots and remakes of everything, especially when we are rebooting things like Spider-Man that are less than 10 years old.
Yeah, I agree.
There were a couple comments by like Andre and Epicurious about when we were talking about the online communication. As far as internet friends or in real life.
People together?
Yes.
Is that a slogan for a phone company?
MCI?
MCI, Verizon, I don't know.
Superfilm fan says Hollywood has way too many sequels and reboots, but you can't completely blame them. We are part of the problem because people don't go see movies unless it's tied to something else anymore. He says, like, look at this weekend. Interstellar came out, and it's by one of the biggest directors of our day. No one went to see it.
I wouldn't say no one. I mean,
it did pretty well.
It did well, but it's behind Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Well, and he says we can't.
Which, again, is tied to a major franchise because it's a
Marvel
/ Disney movie. Yeah. So.
Here's the thing. Well, first of all, the Big Hero 6 isn't being billed as a Marvel movie in any way, shape, or form. The other thing is,
it is because it's even in the 30-second TV spots you see it says based on the Marvel or suggested by the Marvel comic or something.
The Marvel
like
logo
that.
Shows up nowhere in the film. Nowhere.
It may be based on a comic, but it's not Marvel.
Yeah, but I mean, in the advertising they do mention that it's based on a Marvel comic to get more people to go
see
it.
But that may be just in Canada.
But it's not a Marvel studio film.
Yeah. Anyways. They don't even do the Marvel logo in front of it. Like, the only Marvel thing is, like, a line in the credits at the very end.
Besides, Big Hero 6 is, like, a ripoff of How to Train Your Dragon.
No. Here's the thing. Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6
is... I haven't seen it, so I can't
half the length of Interstellar, so that kind of helps, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Plus, it's holiday, so it's kids.
But Interstellar was one of those rare 3-hour movies that kind of needed to be 3 hours. Like it.
Yeah.
At least for me, it didn't drag. Like, it's. If anything, it felt like they cut stuff out. Like, it moves really fast.
But the thing is, when you have a movie that you can only show 4 times a day versus a movie you can show 7 or 8, one's going to make more money.
True.
Yeah. Plus, Interstellar is not in 3D because Christopher Nolan won't put anything in 3D.
Thank God.
So you can't get that extra 3D money for selling tickets for double the price.
It's not double the price.
That's going against it too.
So, moving on to the last piece of the comments before we close out. Justin Washington says, "I really enjoyed this episode as far as last week's." One of the better ones of this podcast in quite a while. Great stuff. Walking Dread says, I agree. This was a good episode. Some legit conversation going on. Insightful listen.
We don't suck!
So, anything you guys want to pimp out before we close it out?
Well, I'm taking advertisements for your mom from Sun. Sorry. This week in Geek, we actually decided to skip talking about Twin Peaks. We're actually going to talk about Godzilla because it's the 60th anniversary. So
we'll still do Twin Peaks at some point.
Oh yeah,
I want to talk
Twin Peaks
about that
like next year. But we're going to talk about Godzilla and its legacy of rubber-suited monsters. I have so many rads coming out in the next couple of days. By the time this episode airs, I'm likely done Assassin's Creed Unity. I'll be doing Assassin's Creed Rogue. I'm still working on Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. I'm still working on Dragon Age Inquisition. I haven't slept in days. Not even kidding. Oh, my God. So, lots of stuff on thisweekingeek.net. Keep it locked. And, Dave, you are bringing back Movie Madness on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, not hopefully. We will. We've already talked about it, and we have a plan for a newly reformatted version of Movie Madness at this week. Net, so
now with less bullshit,
or possibly more bullshit but more entertaining bullshit
and less sodium. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, now gluten free.
So is that it?
Yes.
All right. You can contact us in the following ways. You can email us feedback at geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post on the website. You can get a hold of us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and yours are, guys?
You can find me at always at Birdman Dodd on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
You can find me at
Twitter. Birdman. It's so long. It's technically at David_Dennis, but you'll find updates from like 2010, maybe 11.
Just tweet randomly.
I need to update my Twitter again.
You can find me at BoothNinja81.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.